Hi, I'm Tim Peter, and welcome to Search Chat, Solo Segment's podcast dedicated to all things search, AI, and content marketing related. Who is Solo Segment? Well, we're a technology company focused on site search analytics and AI-driven content discovery to improve search results, increase customer satisfaction, and unlock revenue for your company. Solo Segment, make your search smarter. You can learn more at solosegment.com.
On this episode of Search Chat, Solo Segment CEO Steve Zaker and I discuss where we are on the artificial intelligence hype curve and how you can make artificial intelligence work as a sales and marketing leader today. We also talk about how to deploy an AI initiative within your organization to increase revenue and unlock value for your company. All that and more on the latest Solo Segment Search Chat, coming at you right now. Well, good morning, Steve. How are you doing today?
I am doing really well. It's a Monday morning here in Solo Segment land. And so, we're catching it early. But yeah, doing great. I had a nice weekend, nice restful weekend. So it was good times.
That's fantastic. Well, we've sort of reached the dog days of summer. I know it's hot and crazy and all that other kind of stuff. Things are a little quieter, right?
Yes, indeed.
So it's probably a good time to take a step back and ask some bigger questions.
Think about
where we're heading in the longer term. And when I say we, I mean we as marketers, we as business folks who care about digital and about search and about AI and things like that. And I have a question because it came up in a conversation I was having with someone the other day that I would love to hear you talk about a little bit, which is, come on. This is the conversation I was having with somebody. And he said, come on, all this AI stuff, when we talk about marketing and all that and sales, that's all just hype, right? Like, that's not a real thing that matters yet. You know, maybe it'll matter someday. This is what the guy's telling me. Maybe it'll matter someday.
Yeah.
But does it really matter today? And I thought, not only is that a fascinating question, but also, what a fascinating question for our podcast.
There you go. I love it. And, you know, it's kind of interesting because over the weekend I was working on a blog post, which is very similar to this, but, you know, maybe we can work that in. But it's this hype curve. Where are we? Is it real? What does it mean to my business?
Right. What inning are we in? Right.
Yeah,
People always like to ask that one. Right.
Yeah. I mean, I definitely think it is early innings. I was struck, you know, I drive an older vehicle. It's all of 5 years old, right? So it doesn't benefit from all the newer technologies that are embedded, like Subarus these days come with, you know, all of the lane change and the radar, the LiDAR, all that stuff is kind of built in. And so I had the opportunity, I brought my Volvo in for some service, and I had the opportunity to drive one of the new models. And, you know, it's one of those that has, again, they try to suck you into buying a new car every time they do this, right? So you get the top model with all the bells and whistles. And this thing, of course, you know, you get on the highway and you say, I want to, you know, I'm going straight, don't hit anything. And the car will just go, and it'll go 65 or it'll go 30 if the traffic gets tight. And then if you go to a Tesla, right, you see that. And I guess my point is today, you know, if you don't believe AI is going to matter, just go drive a car, because that's all AI right now. Right. Now, the thing isn't driving itself, but there is a model in there built from machine learning that knows, that just basically is doing predictions continuously. Am I going to hit something? Right. Am I going to hit something? Right. Am I going to hit something? Right. And it's just asking it's that question continuously and using the tools that it has, the levers, right, in the machine that it has to not hit stuff.
And so first
and foremost, I mean, if you doubt at all that AI machine learning is a thing, just go drive a car. Go drive a modern car. You will know, right, that this is a thing.
Right.
But of course, the tougher question is, what does this mean for B2B, right? So now you're a digital marketing executive. What does it mean for you? And I think the first indication of it's not hype is platform companies are snatching up data scientists the way early internet companies snapped up web developers in 1996.
Right.
And so, you know, we are definitely at the beginning of the next internet, right? Or the next kind of big thing. And so no longer are full stack developers going to be a thing unless part of your full stack is I can do R and Python and, you know, pick your AI language or technology that you can do those things to do the data analytics, to build the tools on the platforms in order to do miraculous things. So I think that's part of the indicator for me that AI, we've gotten beyond the hype, because you look at Microsoft, Google, especially in their platform business, but also in their application business. You look at AWS in their platform business. You look at IBM. I mean, even IBM, for God's sakes. You know, these are companies that are snatching up data talent like crazy. And so, again, it's 1996 again. And back in, and by 99, we were like, oh, internet's a bubble. It's, you know, and all of a sudden there were, you know, web developers on the sidewalks, you know, looking for jobs. And so we might have that correction. But I also think we're going to see the 2000s again, right, with regards to AI skills. So it could be, you know, we could be peaking in the way we did in 99, 2000 at some point. But it's just to go into the trough of, you know, disillusionment so that we can then emerge with the right model. And so,
Well, it does feel a little like we've sort of hit a little bit of that trough of disillusionment, a little bit, you know what I mean? And maybe it's just the early days of that, but it, at least from my perspective, it seems like, you know, there was a lot of hype about this a year or two ago, and all of a sudden everybody's starting to ask these bigger questions, which is an important step, but also it ignores all the stuff that's going on the ground, right?
Absolutely.
It's ignoring where this actually comes to play. So, given that, you know, what are some examples, or, you know, we were talking about some things a little earlier, you know, what are some things that people are seeing where this is real, where this actually does make a difference and it's important for you to focus?
Well, you know, that's a really interesting question. I mean, when I've, so again, I try to talk to a lot of people. It's kind of part of my job is to talk to a lot of people about digital marketing, marketing, where things are going. And, you know, where you see this, there's a little less hype and a little more reality. I think there's a lot of technologies in kind of the demand gen space that are looking at all the data. Like if you're doing email campaigns, I was going to say programmatic, but there's so much fraud in that business. It's hard to know what's real and what's not. But if you're doing, you know, demand gen, there's a lot of AI type technologies in there that are trying to learn, you know, is this a good lead or is this a bad lead? So in lead scoring, in evaluation, you know, essentially A-B testing of content and that sort of thing. So I think that there's a lot of work going on there. I think one of the reasons is there's a lot of money in that space, right? I mean,
business, well, sure. Absolutely. Right?
So there's a lot of money to chase. And you can measure results pretty readily, which is, I think, one of the important things when it comes to, when it really comes to understanding, you know, is there value in AI? Is you got to have some sort of measurable result, you know, and it's funny, the blog post I was writing, you really focused on four things, right? It focuses on, you know, business problem. You know, do you have a business problem worth solving and that you understand? And can you measure it, most importantly, right? Do you have the domain expertise to understand what's going on? Do you have some data science skills to understand the data side of it, even if you're not building it? And then finally, you know, have you set the right expectations with your boss? And if you break those down, there's, I think, you know, those four insights are really at the heart of any transformation. But I think that with specific regards to AI, you know, you start with that business problem. And so that's one of the reasons I think like success that I see in some products in the demand gen space are because the business problem is well understood and highly measurable. And everybody's got the pain. And I think that if a company's evaluating, you know, we all want to have AI in our objectives for the year, right? It's because we want to demonstrate that we're doing something so we don't miss the next internet. And so, you know, having the ability to demonstrate some measurable progress is key. So that I think is one of the reasons why that space is pretty crowded with machine learning slash AI type technologies. Now, whether or not there's really AI going on in the back or not is always kind of a question for me because
of course
I see some of those things and I'm like, well, I could write a rule for that. Now, maybe the machine can write a better rule, right, and they have the machine writing a better rule for that. But I
or a rule that updates over time. Yeah, or something, sure. Maybe along there's those some lines.
Like, you know, learning going on there as it evaluates the A's versus the B's, and then it But I sometimes kind of wonder. It's like, well, how is that different from me just getting some off the shelf, you know, marketing automation platform and just, you know, writing a couple of rules? But hey. Maybe. But regardless, I understand the business problem and I understand the measures of success. And so that for me is kind of rule one. And when you think about AI and separating the hype, is do you really understand the business problem it's going to solve? And if it does solve it, that you're going to achieve some objective at the end of the year or the end of the cycle or whatnot. So I think that's kind of like anything. It's really critical. And I think, again, why you see some of this in, at least I understand it clearly in the demand gen space, is because I can understand the business problem and the measures.
Well, and it's interesting that you say that because, you know, if you're the head of marketing, if you're the head of sales, do you really care whether or not it's doing AI, or do you really care about getting that result? Obviously, if somebody's saying they're doing AI, they ought to be doing AI.
And by the way, it should be a lot better. You know, so if I
it should be a lot better.
If I deployed my marketing automation stack last year and I got a 5% bump, and now this year I'm going to augment it with some AI technology, well, what's now I got to get better than 5? So, you know, what am I going to get? And it doesn't have to be 10x, right? Because, you know, I think it was Mike says this all the time. It's like, you know, 10x would be great, but what's 1% more growth worth to your bottom line? And it's
absolutely, and
the answer for a lot of our B2B clients is it's worth a lot of money.
Well, the story I always tell, and I admit, I like to tell jokes and things like that. You know, there's the old joke about the two guys walking through the woods, and all of a sudden they see a bear, and the bear starts moving towards them. You know, and the first guy sits down, pulls out of his backpack a pair of running shoes and slides them on. And the second guy says, "What are you doing? You're not going to outrun that bear." And the first guy says, "I don't have to outrun that bear. I just have to outrun you."
Indeed. Right? Indeed.
So I think that's where Mike is exactly right. Exactly what you're talking about is, you know, 10x would be fantastic, but if your competition is doing 10% better and you do 12% better, guess what? You're gaining market share. You're doing better.
Exactly.
And that's actually not a terrible place to be. So with regard to that, if I am the head of, you know, marketing, if I am the head of sales for some company, and vendors are coming to me and they're talking about AI in their tools and how cool it is and all this other kind of stuff, what do I need to know whether or not that they're actually selling me something really valuable or whether or not they're selling me a bill of goods?
And I think that's the second area is domain expertise. So that's the thing that I talk to. Boy, you're just serving these up for me. Thank you. So
I'm here, Steve.
So it's domain expertise. I think where a lot of people get in trouble, especially with regards to technology deployments, is when they are trying to deploy a technology in an area that they don't understand. Forget the technology, right? Mm-hmm. Do you really understand how your business runs? And that's part of what kind of knocks through the hype. Because, you know, let's go back to my demand gen story. If you are an expert in that area, right? So you are the MQL expert, you can stuff the pipeline like crazy with whatever you have today. You really understand the processes, the levers, the resources that you have at hand, the data that you have at hand. And that helps you in your evaluation. So if you don't have that domain expertise, you need to get it, right? You need to find the person in your organization who has it, because they don't have to understand the technology. They don't have to understand machine learning. They don't have to understand any of that stuff. What they have to understand is, how is this going to help run my business, you know, affect the levers that I have? And if they're a new lever.
Right. How do we know better is better?
Exactly. And I think that's another area that requires, you know, and by the way, when I worked at a large enterprise, that was one of the biggest challenges that I had as an IT executive, was talking to the line of business folks and knowing clearly that the person I was talking to didn't understand their fulfillment processes.
So I'm
trying to help them improve time to market, all that other stuff. And we might be talking about, you know, an SAP implementation or some other vendor's implementation and trying to optimize, and they have no clue. They just have opinions. And so, you know, I know that as the executive, you want to be the smartest one in the room, but at the same time, the smartest people often realize that they have gaps in their knowledge. And I think that's
Of course.
That's the error, right? That is the error, is that you have gaps in your knowledge and you're allowing the salesperson to kind of fill in the gaps versus allowing your domain experts, right? So it's got to be a partnership. You have to make sure that your domain experts are at the table helping you to evaluate the technologies that you're looking at.
Got it. No, that makes a lot of sense. So you talked a little bit about, you know, make sure you have a well-defined business problem, right? I mean, we need to avoid this scenario of ahead and sprinkle a little AI dust on it, right? Like, what is the actual business problem you're trying to solve? You talked about making sure you have people who have domain expertise. You talked about making sure we have measurable results. You said there were four elements. What
actually,
was the fourth?
I'm only on two right now. I'm coming up on three. So results was part of the business problem.
Those were 1A and 1B.
I'm just rambling here. You know how I get when I start to ramble. So three. Number three, or as my pal Bill says, C, data science skills. Now, you don't have to be a data scientist, but you do need somebody on your team that has those skills because, and more importantly, not because they're going to be able to build what the vendor has or evaluate the vendor's system architecture. Mm-hmm. They have to understand your data because at the end of the day,
right.
It has to be your data that feeds the beast. Now, that's not to say that there are probably some models out there that cross industry, that might cross, you know, companies. But, you know, what we have found in doing this work is, and maybe it's a B2B thing, I don't know, because we haven't done a lot, if any, B2C work. But what we've found is these large enterprises have very unique data. And sometimes they can source some third-party data that helps the model be smarter, but by and large, the models are driven by what's going on because their processes are unique, their systems are unique, their customers are unique, their product, everything about them is unique, right? These, you know, large enterprise B2B, these billion-dollar-plus companies, you know, they are unicorns, right? There's just a field of unicorns. And so they really are unique animals. And so, you know, I think what's beholden upon, I think the mistake that a lot of large companies are making today is they're trying to become and build their own data science capabilities that allow them then to do AI application development. I've seen one company that does it well so far. I was talking to a large scientific products company, and it's a pretty impressive kind of platform that they've built, an application layer they've built. They're an impressive organization. The only one I've seen do it well so far. And so,
Which to be fair, I mean, this is a company that does science for a living. Yes. So, I mean, realistically, it's part of their core competency. So
I think you're right. They are definitely a very, and when I say technical, they're a technical company, but not in the IT sense, but in the, they're scientists. They are definitely scientists. So it helps.
Right.
And so they've done a nice job with it. But by and large, what companies should be focusing on, and you see this as well, I don't want to say that you don't see this, is focusing on the data. And a lot of it, you know, kind of go back a couple of years, it was data lakes and blah, 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 right?
Yeah.
But it almost doesn't matter what the structure is because there are a lot of modern technologies that can access the data regardless of its structure. That you understand it, right? That you understand what the data means, that you can, it's sourced well, that it's aggregated and processed well. So you really have kind of a good, robust ETL sort of capability. And that that when it's used to predict outcomes, you can then understand the genesis of all that. And part of that's because you want to understand it and trust it. And part of that's also, you know, I think there's a real hunger, especially amongst the non-technical, non-data science types, is to have things explained to them in terms that they understand. And so if you can say, oh, well, remember how we used to do marketing campaigns or email campaigns and we'd A-B test against the population and then, you know, we'd get some stats back and then we'd make modification. Well, that's how AI works. It just does it a lot faster, right? It does it a lot faster.
Right.
And so that A-B test, you know, you can do instead of one a week, you can do 50 a week or 20 a day, right? And so you can really increase the iterations. Right. And I mean, you know, so if you understand your domain and you understand your data well enough, you can explain the context of the business problem. Boy, there are the 3 points I've made so far. You can understand the context of the business problem in ways that, you know, kind of non-geeks will understand. And that's important because those are the people who at the end of the day are going to allocate the resources and define the targets and do all the things that are going to make your life miserable if they don't understand it and could be turning them into allies if they do.
Cool. So that's, you know, we gotta have the right business problem. We gotta have the right measurable result. We gotta have the right data in place to make that work. What's number four?
Expectations.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. And this is really, I mean, there's a big umbrella around this. I could have called it change management, but there is an expectation with a lot of things that, you know, when IT gets deployed, then magic happens. And you see this, a couple of our clients have recently gone through website redeployments. And by redeployment, I mean not only new design, but new
platforms. Right, new platforms and all. Yeah.
And you know, I've been through a number of these, so I know. I know that on June 30th when they deploy, it doesn't mean, you know, on July 1st, it's roses and sunshine and, you know.
No. What? No. Surely not. Surely yeah, you.
Right. It's then like, oh, damn, what did we do? Right.
Right.
And it's all the mess that comes from any large scale IT deployment.
Of course. So
if by day 30 you have it running right, you're perfect. Right.
Yeah.
That's something I always had to coach business execs is like, yeah, if we're great on day 30, then we're great, right? It was a perfect deployment. And if it stretches out beyond day 30, then you might have a problem that you have to go pay attention to.
Yep.
And I think that the same thing is true of AI, right? That, you know, we're still in learning mode and your vendors, right? Your vendors are still in learning mode. Everybody is in learning mode about how AI is going to ultimately help the business. And I think that any vendor product out there, including ours, by the way, is an iteration on the final thing. That's one point is that this is a journey, much like, quite frankly, in 1997, we were all trying to figure out what does this internet thing make, right? Or mean for our business, for our policies, et cetera. Sure. And so I think recognizing that it's a journey and making sure you're setting those expectations with the leadership team, I think is really important. I also think that, you know, setting expectations about, you know, what does happen on day one. Because on day one, it's really you begin the final test, right? And you're A-B testing. Yeah. You're thinking about what's plan B, what's plan C, as you think about how to improve the technology over time. But the other expectations you have to set, not only about what business results are we going to get and what the time frame is for those, but what processes are going to be affected. Because, you know, that's one of the things about all this data coming into your business. It's going to help you discover things that you didn't know about.
Oh, yeah.
And it may change things in ways that you don't understand. So, for example, our Guidebox product, it allows any site manager to deploy it and to deliver basically a modal, right? You know, kind of an overlay on the screen that helps guide visitors to an objective.
Right. Well,
oh, by the way, some web guy can do that without asking all the product people.
Yep.
Okay, that might be a problem.
Right.
So, you know, that's a business process change because now content is getting delivered to people without, you know, kind of being managed in a visitor journey and going into some grid about persona. You know, none of that happens because the machine doesn't care about that.
Right, right.
So how are you?
Nor should it.
No, it shouldn't. And by the way, humans should get over that, right? The business model, right? How the organization works is going to have to adjust over time.
Well, this is something I talk about all the time. And I mean no disrespect to the very fine work people have done over personas over the years, or the very fine work people have done on buyer's journeys over the years. But the reason those exist is because we don't actually know what the customer wants. And when we deploy something like Guidebox or, you know, our competitors or other tools that think about how you do this, you know, the reality is it's bypassing those because it's actually getting to what does the customer want, not how do we come up with a proxy that helps us understand what it is our customer might want.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And then so finally, so now you've got the stakeholders who own the business processes on board.
Right.
You also want to know what resources need to be committed both during and after the deployment. Because again, if it's magic, well, we don't need any more budget for writers, right? Well, no, you still need content.
No.
It might need more content, right? Because Right. You might find gaps. Yep. Like, you know, for Guidebox, you know, one of the interesting things, and we're just enabling this, it should be ready next couple of weeks, where's some wood to knock on. But it's it's a dashboard. Because one of the things that I'm actually most interested about Guidebox is not where it makes predictions, because that's certainly important. I'm going to be really interested to see where it doesn't make predictions. Right. Where are the gaps? And often that's going to point to content gaps. So that's one of those things that like, you know, why aren't I getting a recommendation on this page? It's like, well, because there's no content to recommend. Oh, there's a resource that has to be committed after the deployment to go find content to stick in that hole. So there's going to be a lot of interesting things I think people are going to discover as they measure the results. And that is kind of the final one is around expectation setting is, you know, does the business get 10% better tomorrow? It's like, well, no. A, our lead generation process takes 90 days. Our lead qualification, right?
So right.
It's definitely not going to get better any earlier than 90 days. Maybe it'll get better in 70 days, but that's when you're going to start to see the result. And oh, by the way, you're not going to see 100% of the advantage. You know, you're going to see it kind of now begin to build, right? It's like anything.
Right.
Set the expectations around measurement. So to recap, I'll just go through them because I got them here, right? So it's the business problem, right? Something worth solving. And this is where the measurements come in. Is it something you can measure, right? A measurable result. Two is domain expertise because you want to make sure you're able to evaluate what the vendor is telling you with some knowledge about how the world works. Three is the data science skills, and it's mostly focused on the data piece, right? Do you understand the inputs so that you can understand the outputs? And then the final piece is expectations. Number four is expectations. Are you managing those well within your organization? So there's reasonable expectations for when and how results are going to appear.
Words of wisdom, as always, Steve. Good stuff.
There you go.
Good stuff. Well, all right. Well, we are at time. So as ever, really great chatting with you. Hope you have a great
happy Monday.
Happy Monday. Hope you have a great rest of the week and look forward to catching you next time.
Thanks very much, Tim.
All right. Take care.
Search Chat is brought to you by Solo Segment. Solo Segment is a technology company focused on site search analytics and AI-driven content discovery to improve search results, increase customer satisfaction, and unlock revenue for your company. Solo Segment, make your search smarter. And learn more at solosegment.com. If you like what you've heard today, click on the subscribe links you can find at solosegment.com/podcast, on iTunes, Google Podcasts, Stitcher Radio, Spotify, or wherever fine, on Twitter using the Twitter handle @SoloSegment, or you can drop us an email at info@solosegment.com. Again, that's info@solosegment.com. For Search Chat, I'm Tim Peter. I hope you have a great rest of the week. Thanks so much for joining us, and we'll look forward to chatting with you next time here on Search Chat. Until then, take care, everyone.